How are you? It's a gray day. There's a little bit of stuff falling out of the sky. I don't know what it is yet, but it's a good thing. Maybe it ain't enough, but at least we're getting a little of it. Thank God for it. Let's see. How about we start today 382 and let's stand 382. You what? Uh-oh. Here we go again. Yes. Do you have it, dear?
Hang on, Mommy.
Go ahead.
I don't believe it's in this or no.
I thought it was
in the back.
In the very back?
No.
No, it's in the hymnal for celebration, praise, and the greatness of the faith. But we have the words on the screen, so you
Oh! But looky there. Once we get this straightened out.
The 674 line.
Oh, and which one? 674 line.
Is it really? We're going to get started here in just a second. Here we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just getting us here today. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we struggle, but we're meaning to come here to praise your name. Thanks for that song, Lord. There's a really good message in it. Thanks for getting us straightened out and getting us going here today. Thank you, Lord, for this church, my church family, Lord. The love I can already see spreading around here today, Lord. I just appreciate it so much and ask that it would just do nothing but continue. Lord, a pastor showed up today, he and his wife. Pastor's going to preach today, Lord. Lord, give him the power that he needs to deliver your message today, Lord. I pray that it would soak in, that folks would listen, understand, know. And if someone needs to make a decision today for you, Lord, I pray they do so before they leave this building. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thanks that we can just come together today and be here in your church. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 824 in the back, 824. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin illumined the crimson can be whiter than the snow. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Every knee his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength divine my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. See, we have one more on the overhead. Yes, we do. Ancient words.
Do you have music for that? You don't have it?
Okay. I think Kay does. Yes, she does. Holy Word. We did it. Thank you. Let's see. We have announcements here. Our evening service tonight is actually a quarterly business meeting. It's at 6 o'clock. Make sure you show up for that. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet on the 17th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Personal evangelism. Evangelism is the 13th and 27th at 6. Wilton Bible Study is going to meet on the 15th and 29th at 6. We have a deacon's meeting this month on the 22nd. Kathy Siwasik will be the person to call for prayer chain. Services are as follows, which you know, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:40 morning service, and Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. Thought for the week. Nowhere is human pride mentioned positively in Scripture. Shame and repentance are. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the beautiful day, the bit of rain, Lord, you've sent. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, all week long on everything that we need, Lord. You provided. You've kept us safe. Appreciate it so much. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to be here today, to sit amongst a little bit of preaching from Pastor, guiding, directing, Lord, later on as he does so. Now, Lord, we have an opportunity to try and give back a small portion back to you, Lord. I ask you to be with the gift and the givers who do so, and thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We have some ladies that are going to come up here and sing. Thank you.
if you know it, because I'll tell you what, folks, there is power in the blood.
Amen.
It's the only way. Here we go. Ready?
Hold up.
169 in your hymnal. Sorry about that.
That helps.
That will help us. And this is the hymnals you have in front of you this afternoon. Here we go. Would you serve us for Jesus for King? Power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you morning
his praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
Jesus, the crucified one, resurrected on the third day, the one who gave power over. Now it's on. Well, I didn't need to let the internet crowd hear my singing there and song leading. Anyway, I am excited about the Lord, whether you can tell it or not. I hope that you know that I am. And today is a wonderful day. So as we quiet our hearts before the Lord today for just a few moments, let's turn our hearts to Him in adoration and praise. And let it be known to Him that you love Him. And I just want to say this, if you're here apart from Him today, this is a great time to acknowledge Him. Again, to understand that He indeed loves all people and He's the Savior of the world. He's our only hope. And He is available to us by calling on His name. That's how we're saved, by placing our faith and trust in Him. No time is a waste of time when we'll spend it with the Lord. If you have questions about that, talk to me afterward, other people here. We want you to know today that Jesus cares deeply about you, and He died for that us. That's how much He loved us. He took our sin upon Him that we might have the free pass. Let's go to prayer. Lord God, now as we take these few moments here, maybe it's the first time through the whole day for some, maybe for others it's been a part of multiple times when we bowed our heads before You and lifted You high, Lord, in our lives. Lord, hopefully today we've acknowledged who You are, that the power that is there is through the blood of Christ, the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God that came to pay for the price of the sins of the world in our place. So, Lord, today we acknowledge you as an awesome and mighty God. We thank you, Lord, for your forbearance and your mercy and grace that are extended to us that are unworthy. And, Lord, that even though we have our ups and downs with you, you are ever faithful. You never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you for that today, Lord. And I just, again, stand in awe of you. I want to have heartfelt praise for you this day, Lord, and take this time to set aside to just tell you how much we love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church that is yours. I acknowledge, Lord, that we are an imperfect group here, and I don't believe there is such a thing as a perfect group. But, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get firmly on the path, Lord, that you would have for us, and that, Lord, once again, you would help us where we've slipped to stand back up and to walk in the paths of righteousness and enthusiasm for you, O Lord. Now, Lord, today, again, we want to take that time to set this aside. This time of celebration this morning, Lord, I pray this is not a pious event this morning, but an energetic event where we are re-energized from your word, caused to think about you, caused to confront your ways versus the ways of man and death in our lives, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that as we bring about what the truths are in your word, Lord, that you'll bless that, that there will be a revival amongst the people, that there will be a pouring out yet today of the power of the Spirit, Lord, in people's lives. And, Lord, transformation would grow in people, change, and that we'd be different in how we came, Lord, and that this day might be a special day in that regard for this whole group. Father, as always, we understand there are people that are struggling, and, Lord, some with sin issues, others, Lord, from the effects of the sin curse that are ill. But Lord, all kinds of things affect the human experience. But we do pray today for those of our own number that are missing. But Lord, also for those of our community and our neighbors, Lord, that are people we have contact with. We pray, O Lord, that you would help this community here of the southern part of Muscatine and Fruitland to know that this church is a lighthouse. We pray, Lord, you'd give us strength and empowerment to speak the truth in the day that we live. We pray that you would give us loving hearts for those around us and that it would be genuine and they would see it. Lord, we need your help. I need your help today as I bring forth your word. Lord, we're a needy bunch, but we know that you're an all-sufficient God, and I thank you for that. You have the answers. Lord, help us to be reflectors of your light in us this day yet to come. And during this time as we gather together, may the word of God penetrate our hearts. And Lord, would you help this poor fool to bring forth this message for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, first of all, let me just say this. I'm a little off script this morning, but, you know, I'm not called here to just be insignificant. Now, with that being said, I'm not here to be a big shot because I'm not a big shot. I'm a servant, a humble servant of Jesus Christ. But folks, in the era that we live, in the environment that we live, I am called to speak out the truth about many things. And so this series that we've had here, that we've been exploring the roles and rules for the sexes, is one that is not going to go with the popular grain of what our culture is moving more and more toward all the time. But I want to tell us this morning this, and this is why I stand here before you, no matter how it shakes out. I've got to speak the truth. And I serve a God that Malachi 3:16 says does not change. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ who Hebrews 13:8 says never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God and his ways will not change. I will tell you that unequivocally, that God's morality and his ways have not changed and they will not change. And yet, with that said, his grace is sufficient for all of us. So we speak the truth in love, and that's where I'm coming from today. I am not hateful of any people, but I am here today to promote the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these issues are very important. The bottom line is, if you want to hate me over this, you go right ahead, but I'm going to speak the truth. I do not hate anyone today. I hate sin because God hates it. And in case you're smug about these issues, say, well, that doesn't involve me. Well, sin does involve everyone in this room, including me. And that's what we're here for. We're here to get straightened out. This is a hospital for sinners. It's not a sanctimonium for saints. Because we're all in the same boat here, folks. We're not right. But God wants us to be right. And He's patient with us. And He loves us. Please forgive me for the wrongs I've committed against you, folks. I forgive you. You haven't been that bad, really. But you know what? We've got to get together, folks. Because I'm going to tell you what. Satan's tactics are divide and conquer. And we've got to be strong in the power and might of the Lord. Anyway, with that said, I think I'm looking here to see what all I wanted to say this morning. But you remember two words that I introduced here last week. Effector and receptor. And in most cases, not all, and I'll outline some of that today, The role models for male and female are the male is the effector and the female is the receptor. Again, I won't get graphic in my teaching here this morning. But what we have to understand and what we took home from last week is the baseline fact that the Bible, which I believe is God's Word, and by the way, prove it wrong to me. Prove it wrong to me. People have tried. They can't do it. But God created two sexes, male and female. You heard that last week. We won't revisit it. But let me just tell you this, folks. You can do all the kind of things that we see going on. And by the way, what we see in our nation today is nothing new. This happened all through time. And what it really is, folks, is defiance against God's ways and His will. But you can't defy it. Because the bottom line is, people are either male or female. You'll never get over it. I don't care what kind of changes you want to try to do. You are one or the other. There's no DNA proof for anything else. And you're never going to find it. If it is presented, it will be some kind of a cock and bull story that does not line up with truth. I will stand on that every day. Anyway, today, we're going to continue on with this. I do believe this because in general, not in every case, but and I'll work through some of that, males are designed to be givers and females are designed to be receivers. Now, some of you might get mad about this, and there are situations and things that I'm not saying this, but I'll speak to young ladies here today. If you end up with some guy that wants you to treat as a female, wants you to treat them to everything and take care of them and do everything for them, run the other way as fast as you can. Now, I see a few smiles and I see some nasty looks too. It's not God's design, folks. In God's design, and it does not happen in every case and there are situations. I want to be careful about that. But folks, God's role for the men is to be the giver and the female, the receiver, okay, in that relationship. You got to think about that a little bit. We're going to start out, though, this morning, again, with a subject called marriage. By the way, marriage is a biblical subject. It did not come from a secular source. It came from God. So when we talk about marriage today, we're talking about God's Word. And it is a union of one man and one woman for life. That's God's design. The problem is that Satan wants to destroy all this. But I'd like you to open your Bibles or your devices this morning to Genesis 2, 18 through 24. We're going to look at this quickly. But here's the point, folks. Satan is trying everything he can to disrupt and cause rebellion against God's ways. But as I already alluded to, it cannot be done. It won't work. It's proven over and over. It will not work in a way that will be positive for any concerned if we do it any other way but God's. Because it just will never work. But here's the plan that God has. Marriage, by the way, is from biblical origin. It's from biblical origin. Genesis 2 18 through 24. While I'm talking, I should have been turning in my Bible here. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help, make him an help meet or fit for him." By the way, when you think of the design of the male and female, effector, receptor. If someone has a question about that later, I won't get graphic this morning, but those of you that are of a mature age, and even some that may not be, know what I'm talking about. The man and the woman fit. Either one alone is going to have it tough. We were made and designed, it, not in every case. There are some people that are single. God ordains that. There are ministry areas. There are things that God may have. But in general, the male and the female are created to complement one another in all ways. Do I need to get more graphic? Okay. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet or fit for him. He was alone. By the way, God, in his divine plan, again, he saw that being alone is not good. Have you ever been alone in this room? Some of you are. Some of you are widowed or a widower. Some of you maybe have been single for life, and you're okay with that, with God's help. He's never left you. He'll be with you. But you know what? We it's hard to operate alone, and the Bible talks about that over and over. Two are better than one. It's always good to have a helper. And so God created the woman to be a complement to the man, that as a team, they would work together and be able to have good effect on whatever God called them to do. Anyway, here's how it happened. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." By the way, do you ever wonder what Adam thought about Eve when he first saw her? Maybe he wanted to be put back under the anesthetics of God there. No. No, I think we can understand this, that Eve was a knockout. And you ladies are created in her stead. Because before the curse, before the fall, Eve was created perfect. She was the ideal woman. Some of you ladies are trying to live up to that. Don't work so hard at it. You're good. God created just the way he created you. Yeah. You don't have to do everything to make it that way. You have beauty in God's design. Anyway, I wonder what he thought. Well, he didn't resist it, did he? There's nothing here in Scripture that says, send her back, Lord. You know, I threatened that one time at the mansion. That's what I call the mansion where Kim grew up. I said, I brought her back for warranty work, but I think the warranty's run out. Grandpa Ron knew I was joking. Grandma Wanda, I never would have said that when she was around. But look at here, 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I'm not going to park on that today, but you get the idea here of what God has designed. It's a union between the male and the female, and it's a perfect union designed by God. Anything short of that is going to have imperfect components to that kind of a relationship. So it was designed by God. And it's one man, one woman for life, and that's the design. Now things do happen. God takes those things again into account, but his teachings on that are very clear. Just to confirm that, I'd like you to go to Matthew 19:8. Matthew 19:8, and we'll hear it from the words of Jesus. Matthew 19:8. As soon as I can get my pages turned here, you might want to read some of these teachings of Jesus. Jesus Jesus says this when he was asked about divorce and so forth. He says in verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away or divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So what's God's plan? And you can look through Scripture. One man, one woman, for life, till death do us part. That's God's desire. So again, now we find something that takes place that is a little different here. We find in this union that husbands and wives, in some instances, now become the effectors. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And the receptors that they are effectors for, in the most direct sense, are their children. Their children. They together become effectors. Their children become receptors. There's places in Scripture that allude to this, like Proverbs 22:6, that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Also places like Proverbs 1:8-9. Let's go there real quickly. Proverbs 1:8-9. Just to show you a few of these. Here, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Moms and dads, husbands and wives, you have a responsibility as the effectors to have an impact on those that are your receivers as children in your union. Very important. We're not here just to occupy space and time. But again, folks, what we've seen happen before our very eyes throughout all time is that Satan has encouraged rebellion to God's design. He causes there to be resistance to the male's role as the effector, her role as receptor, and their role as the effector and children as the receptor. You agree with that this morning, or am I way off base? You look at almost any problem that you see in society today, and it will point to this bedrock situation right here. It can be traced back to that. I'm certain this, my parents did not teach everything right to me that they could have. But as a whole, when I did not do what they said and did not listen to what they said, revolving the things of the Word of God, it was a stumbling block to me. And when Satan disrupts this pattern, a culture is headed right down the chute. And my friends, that's exactly where we find ourselves today. This male-female fundamental relationship, the institution of marriage, the receptor and the effector in the roles that I've laid out today, are fundamental to an orderly and prosperous society in the Lord. But the problem we have today, folks, is prosperity is built around financial things to a great extent, and sin sells. But let me also tell you this, folks, sin is costly. You wonder why your health insurance, if you have health insurance or pay for it yourself, by the way, if you are a recipient of taxpayer insurance, someone pays that bill. But you wonder why these bills are high? It's because of sin. It's all because of the sin curse, but it's because of people's sin. And let me tell you something, when people get out of the boundaries of what God has designed, it is costly. Don't ever let anyone deceive you that these different suggested ways that people live and the gender bending and all the rest of this are all good, because they're not, folks, they're all bad. They're costly health-wise, and they're costly and harm people that pay taxes, because many of these situations are on the public dole. And my friends, it is horrendous, the disease and the health that flows out of these different lifestyles and that go against the ordination of Almighty God. Husbands and wives in union were a force for resistance. But understand this, even Eve struggled with this after the fall. Go to Genesis 3:16, and it's at the behest of Satan. Of course, the whole thing was, when we didn't do it God's way, trouble came in. And I understand, ladies, where you're at. And yeah, I'm a guy up here speaking this morning, but I understand where you're at. But here's what the summation of all that in verse 16 of Genesis 3. Unto the woman he said, this is God, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. We'll talk about that more later. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And here's the thing, folks, that goes back to the very crux of all this. And I want to tell you this, folks. Ladies are not second-class citizens. You've heard that before from me. Ladies are first-class citizens in God's plan. But he has a certain role, which we'll look at today, if we get there, the ladies today, by the way. He has a certain role for the ladies. Give thanks and praise to God. But what Satan brought into this mix, God prophesied right here. He said, Eve, you are going to be unhappy in this relationship because you know what? I have ordained Adam to be the head of the marriage. Not that he's the order giver. He's the one that's on the hot seat before God. But in Satan's mix, the ladies see a godly man or someone in that situation. Through Satan's influence, they see that as they have been given a bad deal. But it's not the case, folks. It's delusion from Satan. Once we get it through our heads that there is an order that God has and the reason he has it, that's the key to the blessed walk. Otherwise, I'm telling you, you're going to keep resisting and resisting and you're never going to win the struggle. Because this was ordained of old by man's fall. You know, originally Adam and Eve in God's creation probably were co-equals in the sense that everything was good. But when this entered into the picture, Eve, of course, was tempted. Adam was tempted too. He should have been there. It was really his fault. But all this changed. And to this day, this battle continues to go on. I ask, what will be next? Well, let me just say this. There is nothing new under the sun, once again, according to Solomon. I can predict what may be coming in the future, far beyond the same-sex issue, the transgender issue, on down the line. And folks, the Bible talks about all of it. I won't state those things today, but I'll state them to you privately, that we haven't seen the end of all this yet in societies and cultures when Satan takes over the influence. And the end of it is very, very ugly. Talk to me at the door if you wonder about some of that. It's coming. Well, now I want to go and skip over here something in our few minutes that we have left. But I want to explore today the roles and the rules for females. And the men will get their chance too, and there's plenty of it here for all of us. So I'd like you to follow along with me this morning. I want to illustrate several points. We'll get as far as we can. We'll be done on time. But there are rules and there are roles for females. Now granted, you have the choice to what? To accept them or resist them and rebel against them. My counsel to you today from the words of the scriptures is, it's better to do it God's way. It's always going to be better to do it God's way. But many people don't see it that way. And even in my own case, there's times I don't see it God's way. He's still working on me. He's still hammering on this old piece of steel trying to make it right. Right, Dave? And it's the same way with all of us, but this is what God says. These are some key things today for women. Women go first, okay? Here it is. I'll try to be brief. I'll give you, do you want to look at all these references or you want to keep on rolling? Well, would you grant me some time? We'll get done with this when we get done. Oh, by the way, there was something I was going to announce and it just came back. Kim and I are taking a, you know, like the president calls it, a working vacation. We will be around most of the time. Oh, and that's the other thing. Don't call Kim's phone till she gets it replaced. She's got trouble. But there's two other numbers, three, that you can always get me. The landline at home is the worst, 732-2170. My own phone, 563-571-2063. These are all on the website, by the way. That you will always get a hold of me there. You get a hold of me at church, too, if you leave a message or if I'm here. But we're going to be in and out and about this upcoming week. By the way, there should be a really good attendance Sunday because I won't be speaking. That always ensures that. But pray for the ones that will. I think it's Lonnie, but I haven't heard for sure yet. Someone will be speaking. I hope. Now, where were we at? Oh, the phone thing. So if you've tried to call Kim, that's why. You know, we do not screen our calls, although I will admit a lot of times I don't answer 800 numbers. But if you leave a message, I will. And before I forget, Craig, I'll be out there tomorrow night. Will you be there? I told you I was going to come out. I'm getting very forgetful. That's what this quasi-vacation is supposed to be about. Rest. Let my hair down. The first thing, ladies, in God's rules and roles for gals, and the same thing here applies to the guys, but in particular, a lady, a gal, a woman needs to fear the Lord. Number one, right out of the starting gate. What's it mean to fear God? It means to have respect and reverence and understand who God is and understand our place before Him. By the way, we just read it. He created us. Let me just say this too. I am a creationist through and through because that's what God's Word teaches. Evolution is what's brought us to this status that we're in today, folks. Evolution does not line up with anything. You have to have more faith to be an evolutionist than you do to believe in the biblical account of creation. Check me out on that. But number one, for rules and roles for females, you need to fear the Lord. By the way, the men do too, and it's number one there. That's why God wants us yoked up with godly mates, because if we don't do that, it's not going to work. It's a critical thing. Proverbs 31:30. Now we know Proverbs 31 is what? It's the benchmark, in at least in one fell swoop, for how a godly woman operates. Proverbs 31, and we want to look at 30 this morning. Proverbs 31. 31 and verse 30. And I am in chapter 30 yet. Here we go. Now we've got it. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Men, when you go to choose a wife, look into the deep things, not the superficial things. Favors, but I did tell my sons, it doesn't hurt to get a good-looking one while you're at it. You've heard that before. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Bottom line, first thing out of the starting gate, a woman and her rules and role should be based in her fear of the Lord, her respect for God, the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His ways. The second thing, and this is a big rub again too in our day and always has been when Satan gets his mix into this thing, is the subject of motherhood. And I'm sorry, you can invent all kinds of things, and I'm sure that this has already been done or purported, but motherhood is a very important thing. Obviously, why? None of us would be here if it wasn't for our moms. Motherhood is not a curse. It's a divine gift. Thank you, Mom, to my mom, Charlotte Brown. I don't do a lot of bragging. I don't brag on people. My mom was a good mom. Thank God for mothers. Just had Mother's Day a few weeks ago, right? Yeah. But motherhood is important because it shows, again, God's importance for the female sex. Because it is showing God's procreation. The continuation of His creation of the human race that is propagated through a mom. How many of you would have wanted to have your dad for your mom? You ladies are special. You were created for this. It is a gift from God. But this is what Satan has turned on its head. He says it's a burden. It's a curse. You know, you go right down the line, the abortion, all the rest of it today. They reject the role of mother. And it's a God-ordained role. It's an important role. As I said, none of us would be here without our mothers. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 2:15. By the way, some of these sections of Scripture can be tough to interpret, but they're really not. Not if we look at it in the perspective of God. That God does not have any second-class citizens. Men and women are all first-class citizens. You know? 2 Timothy 2:15. Notwithstanding, and we'll look at all this Scripture, but this is the sum total here on motherhood. Notwithstanding, and again, what's being talked about is what happened in the Garden of Eden. But he says, even in spite of all that, she will be preserved or saved in childbearing. God is not done with you ladies. And it's not just about bearing children, but that's a ministry that you have for God. If God allows that to happen in your life. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In other words, if they will accept that gift of God. If they will accept that gift of God as being extenuations of the procreation of God, the mother, the one who nurtures and carries that new product of God's grace. Motherhood is a part of the rules and roles for females in most cases. In some cases, God does not allow that to happen or it does not happen, but let me just assure you, it is one of His desires for most women. Now the third thing, by the way, we'll have at least one more message on the women alone. It could be weeks on the men. And I'm just kind of going through these in somewhat order here, but the role for the female, the women, is to be supporters of the work of the church and of the gospel. Women play a key role in the church. They are not second-class citizens. And they play a role, once again, that is designed for their gender, their sexual makeup before God. You don't have to turn there this morning, but understand this. In Romans 16, 1 and 2, you run into a lady named Phoebe, who was a great servant of the church. Women have a role in God's program and with the gospel. Let me tell you, there's been a lot of people led to the Lord by godly women. In fact, I would say this, maybe more have been led to the Lord through a godly woman than through men. And women have a role. And that's just one of the places. But they have an important part in God's program. Godly women need to be involved with their church and with God's work. So important. We see that again in our day, falling apart right before our eyes. The next thing I'd like us to consider, and you can think about these things, is that God has called the role and rule for women to be diligent workers in their vocations. Diligent workers in their vocations. In other words, this stereotypical thing where the man says, I'm the breadwinner, you just do as I say. No, the role that God's put females in, He wants us to do their very best, to be diligent about those vocations. And again, we go back to Proverbs 31 on this. And there's just several examples in there. Proverbs 31. Last chapter of Proverbs, if you're... For instance, verse 13... Again, this supports her vocational work, even as a mother, and with the vocation of motherhood combined with that. But she's a worker. She seeketh wool, verse 13, and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. 16, she considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. And you can go right on down the line in that. Women are designed to fulfill, once again, diligent roles in their vocations, in that role under God, as a mother and as a wife, as we'll learn later. But whatever they do, they have a role with that in the Lord's program. Another one you can look at it sometime, and there's several, but Acts 9:36, and that's a gal named Tabitha or Dorcas. And she was a lady that did good works for people, did things. She did that very well. She was well known in her situation. So women, again, one of their roles and rules is to be diligent in your vocations, including motherhood, okay? And any other role that you're called into that is of a godly nature. Now, the last one this morning, and then we'll come back, and I'm going to put a mark in here. This is another thing that is resisted very much today in our modern-day environment. But the women, the females, mothers are called to be the nucleus of the home. The nucleus of the home. You know, the father is a little bit like the Adam, right? Sometimes circling all over. But the nucleus, yeah. Nurturer. And I don't believe there is anyone can deny that the gals are not cut out for this in general because of God's design. They're the ones who bind up the wounds. They're the ones who keep the whole thing together. They're the ones who take care of the problems and keep the home as a place that is inviting, that has safety, that has grace involved in it. Folks, when we see what's happened in our cultures, when that thinking has been torn down by Satan, we see chaos, we see despair, and we see destruction. That's the recipe for that. But a mom has got to be the nucleus, a wife, a female of her home, a nurturer. Titus 2:5, our last turn for today. 2 Timothy, Titus. Small epistle. Paul wrote to Titus, 2 Timothy 2:5. Titus 2:5. I'm hoping these days of letting my hair down will help me on this. Here, there's much that we'll learn from this as we go through this study, but verse 5 specifically right now. He's talking about the women here, and he says here that women ought to be teaching women. By the way, if you're a mature woman here today, and that could be someone 20 years old and up, one of your chief roles, and I'll get to this later, is to be teaching other women and younger women what to do. I don't know if that's happening or not, but here it is. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We'll talk about all that before you get shook. But here it is. One of them is the keepers or what? The homemakers. The central thing that keeps a home an inviting and a refuge to her children and her husband. That is so important, such an important ministry. The nucleus of the home. With that said, let me go to the conclusion here today. And I may have read this last week, but I couldn't remember. But it's going to fit all the different weeks. But basically, I sum it up like this. The desire and propensity about our gender and sexuality are governed by God's rules. I believe they are. And they are fixed. They are not fluid. God's rules are fixed. We can bend them, but He hasn't bent them. Our propensity to lie and steal and place other gods or sin in general, or our gender, or our sexual orientation, which are not in alignment with His plan, are sin. Pure and simple. Defying the laws and the holiness of God. And we are accountable for the suffering and destruction that comes with them. So in other words, what I'm saying today, sin is sin. Whether it's a sexual issue, a gender issue, or stealing, or any other sin that the Bible delineates that is a transgression of God's holiness, we're all in the same boat. It just happens that we're talking about these issues with the two sexes right now in our world that is struggling with that. We're accountable for the suffering and the destruction that comes with them. So what I am saying is, sin in general is something we need to be concerned about in our lives. There are situations where characteristics, because of our fallen nature, make us want to think that a mistake was made. We are not who we should be, things like that. But we are who we are, male or female, when we talk about these roles. By the way, people are not born thieves. People choose to be a thief. All of these things are a choice, and we'll talk about that more as we go through this. But we are who we are, male or female, so follow God's design, not your desire. Remember the effector and the receptor. I got to get on the right pages. God gives us the help to put off the desires of the flesh and to put on the things of the Spirit, that we become transformed by a renewed mind into God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Colossians 3, Ephesians 4, that's done by putting on and putting off. We'll review that thoroughly before we're done with this. But there is help today with our sin. There is help today with these issues. By the way, when we talk about the SSAs today, same-sex attractions and all these other, there is help and hope for this in God. It can be fixed, like all sin, because God wants us again to be found acceptable in His sight, Romans 12, 1 and 2. God is ready to help us get everything right, that even though we live in troubled times, we don't need to be troubled in ourselves. And if we're not troubled in ourselves because of the grace of God, you'll see a difference in our world. We don't need to be troubled in ourselves and of our own doing, because Jesus can make us clean today when we are washed in His blood, when we lay our sin at the foot of His cross and receive the receptor. We are the receptors of God the effector, His forgiveness and salvation, by believing, trusting in what He has done for us. He is ready to help the believer as well that struggles with sin issues of any nature from Satan's deceptive temptations. He's ready to help you and I today. All we need to do is go to Him. You don't even need an appointment. Amen. And that's what the church is for here too today, folks. We're not here to beat people up or tear people down. We're here to help people get lifted up. And I tell you, if you have a concern, I have a concern. And there's other people here, we ought to all have concern for one another and help each other if we're struggling in any areas at all regarding sin. And by the way, I'll admit it, I can take help. I need your prayers. I need your help. I struggle, and I know you do too. We all do. But thankfully, I and others are here today to encourage you and are glad to help you. Just mention a word today or come forward following our closing song. There's help and hope in Jesus. And when we do it His way, folks, you'll find there's going to be a burden lifted like none other. And God will empower you to do what you need to do in this world today. In the midst of chaos, it's about time we bring some what? Some order to the chaos, through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for putting up with me today. We've run a little bit long. Amen. Let's take our hymnals at this time. 476. And let's stand if you're able. Could I be bold enough to ask us all today, are we all out for Jesus today? Don't respond to that to me. But are we all out for Jesus today? You know what? We can't expect things to change in this world till we change. Until we let God change us. And that's what He wants from us today, folks. He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to become new, renewed. Even if you're born again today already here, we need further renewal to become more like Christ. And He is waiting today to help us. But that's what we need, folks. That's what's missing today. We're not all out for Jesus. If we'll live all out for Him, you'll see the miracles start to happen again. You'll see the power of the Holy Spirit come into your life and into the life of the church. And you'll see things different. It'll be different to you, a different perspective. And again, if you might be with us today and you've never received Christ, you've never been born anew, been given new life through Jesus Christ, today's the day to bow the knee. Let me tell you this, folks, the Bible says every knee will bow. One way or the other, Jesus is going to be acknowledged as supreme. Whether you acknowledge it today in contrition and calling on Him to save you, to forgive you, or you meet Him again at the great white throne judgment when you'll be forced to bow the knee. But you will not be saved. You'll not be delivered. Jesus wants that today. Is your all on the altar? If it's not, come on up to the front of this church. Make it public. Let's do it today. If you're thinking about it, make it a priority today. But understand this, Jesus has made us a priority. Ought we not to give Him the same back? Today could be the day. 476. You come forward or work with the Lord today in your life, but make sure you're all out for Him. Sorry, Patsy. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Here's the question. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? The heart does the spirit. Okay, I'm so glad you came up today.
We just need to be closer to the Lord.
Yes, we'll talk here in a minute. Day. It's not over. The Lord's still here working with us today. Praise God. I'm going to ask Denny Wheeler if he'd dismiss us with prayer. I'm going to ask the deacons to meet folks at the door, and I'll be back there when I can. Remember, a quick music meeting today as we follow. May the Lord bless you this afternoon as you rest in Him. Understand this, real rest comes from a pure heart. Brother Denny?